It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
Airbnb's lingering controversy. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Behind every AI is a chip, and they are made by NVIDIA and no one else for now. NVIDIA is riding that wave all the way to the bank. It reported earnings and blew away expectations, not just for how it did in the second quarter, but how it expects to do in the third quarter. NVIDIA shares are up 8% in pre-market trading. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
How does ChatGPT or Google's Bard work? Well, for one, they rely on advanced processor chips made by NVIDIA. The company believes it's well positioned to take advantage of AI advancements, and so far it's being proven right. NVIDIA chips are in high demand as other chip makers like Advanced Micro Systems race to catch up. NVIDIA's lead in AI has tripled its market value past the $1 trillion mark, adding it to the ranks of a rarefied few. In its latest quarterly results, the company said it doubled revenue from a year ago, nearly $14 billion, and it made a profit of $6 billion. That's 9 times its profit from last year during the same period. NVIDIA is forecasting a tripling of sales in its current quarter, and it's planning to buy back $25 billion in stock. Such buybacks boost share prices. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
New York City is cracking down on Airbnbs. It's already illegal to rent out an entire apartment or house in the city for less than 30 days, although you can still rent out a room in your apartment for short stays as long as you're home at the time. But starting September 5th, the city will start enforcing the law more aggressively. A big part of the reason? Concerns that the explosion of short-term rentals has made housing less affordable. The reality is complicated. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
New York City did a study 5 years ago that found the more Airbnbs there are, the higher rents go.
For every 1% increase in Airbnb rentals, it was a 1.6% increase in long-term rental rates.
Jamie Peters at Maryville University says while that may not sound like much,
it adds up over time is the problem.
But Richard Green at USC says while Airbnbs are clearly affecting the long-term rental market in some cities and towns,
there are other places where there is no evidence that it has much of an impact.
And he says in some cases, short-term rentals can help people afford their rent or their mortgage.
Suppose there's a flight attendant who's out of town a lot. He may decide to rent out his apartment while he's not there, which is a way that it makes it more affordable for him to live in a place like New York City.
Ultimately, while short-term rentals are contributing to the affordability problem in some places, Green says the bigger issue is that there just isn't enough housing, period. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
It has been a busy week for earnings. Macy's disappointed, but Lowe's did well. Last night, Peloton reported a really tough quarter. Shares fell to record lows. But NVIDIA reported revenue doubled. Shares were up 8% pre-market. Susan Schmidt is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board, and we asked her if there was any kind of lesson or story to tell from all of this.
I think managements have come out with a broader-based message that they're coping, they're grappling with the changing dynamics of the economy. By and large, managements were able to put up earnings estimates that exceeded analyst expectations, and I think lay out a reasonable framework for how they anticipate running their businesses going forward.
Yesterday, we had a couple of really intense reports. Peloton came out with terrible results. NVIDIA, meanwhile, totally killed it, doubling its revenue in the second quarter. What is the story there?
Yesterday's after the market close results from Peloton and NVIDIA, I think, are great examples of the difficulty in predicting company progress as we move forward. So NVIDIA, a wonderful quarter for them, incredibly strong messaging from management, Peloton, on the other side, reported disappointing results, highlighting all the difficulties as they try to adjust back to a normalized economy and a normalized demand environment. Remember that Peloton was the darling of the pandemic, and now that consumer demand has really tapered off. The management team there is trying to figure out how do they best adjust to that and what is the new normal demand level so that they can adapt the business to it.
Susan Schmidt, head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Japan started releasing treated radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean today. The water has been used to cool reactors at the Fukushima nuclear plant after it was damaged during an earthquake back in 2011. Japan says it is filtering and diluting the wastewater before discharging over a million tons of it into the Pacific. The radioactive isotope being released is tritium, which is naturally occurring and which the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission says emits a weak radiation that can't penetrate skin. Still, the release is happening despite objections from within the country. Japanese fishermen are worried about reputational damage, and from Japan's neighbors, including China. Our China correspondent Jennifer Pak reports from Shanghai.
Chinese customs says all seafood and aquatic products from Japan are banned, effective immediately. China's government has called Japan's move to discharge wastewater extremely selfish and irresponsible. Japan admits that the treated water still contains one radioactive element, but that it is in such small amounts, it won't pose serious health risks to humans. That argument is backed up by a UN nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency. Consumers are not convinced. Ahead of the wastewater discharge, people in South Korea have been hoarding items that touch the sea, including salt, seaweed, and anchovies. Here in China, where the country has had multiple food scandals, Japanese food products are usually sold as a safer option. This reputation might now be damaged by fears of radiation. And the impact on Japanese fishing groups will be big. Japan's two biggest export markets for seafood are mainland China and Hong Kong. Already, sushi restaurants in Hong Kong and Beijing are scrambling to source seafood elsewhere. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Prices in China have started to fall. Exports are down. Youth unemployment was above 21% in June. The country stopped reporting that number altogether after that. But behind the numbers is a real frustration, particularly among younger workers. The BBC's Ed Butler spoke with recent college grads in China and filed this report.
I want to find a job. I have passed like 20 written tests, but I haven't got any interviews.
This is Alex. She's 24, a recent graduate with a kind of top-tier college education that used to guarantee you entry into all kinds of top jobs, but not anymore.
Sometimes when you have reject email, you feel like, if my whole education is worth it, like I have so many years to study in the university, in the schools, and eventually I can't find a job.
You can understand the frustration. Recent figures suggest that more than one in five young Chinese are now out of work. That's twice as high as the US or many European countries. Here at Beijing's Lama Buddhist Temple, the biggest in northern China, record numbers of young people are now coming to burn incense and bow their heads. Like these two young graduates, they're praying for work.
All my friends say Lama Temple is very effective for prayers, for things like career advancement or school admissions.
I've taken 3 postgraduate entrance exams over 3 years. I haven't found a job. I think many people come here just to pray because they haven't got a job.
China has been a powerhouse of global industry for many years now. Nearly a third of the world's consumer goods are made here. But even exports from ports like this one are now falling, and domestic consumers just aren't able to make up the difference. Michael Pettis is a professor of economics based at Peking University in the Chinese capital, and he says that China urgently needs to refocus its spending to support regular citizens.
You could, for example, double pensions. You could eliminate subway fees. If you want households to spend more, you have to give them a bigger share of what they produce. If you want to resolve the debt problem, and China may have the worst debt problem of any major economy, somebody has to bear the cost of that debt.
But that's politically painful. And unlike past economic crises, this time China can no longer afford simply to spend its way out of trouble. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.